It is always good to see you. We are still celebrating the Christmas season during this time. Pastor John mentioned earlier, there's those 12 days of Christmas. We're still in that season. It's not, you know, a lot of people are saying Happy New Year, because we're not expected to see one another until the new year. But it's still Christmas time. It's still okay to say Merry Christmas. And our scripture for today is probably not one that you would think is Christmassy, but bear with me. I hope that it becomes clearer for us. It comes from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. For this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. We are still in the midst of the Christmas celebration. We are still in the midst of this whole thing that starts with Advent and culminates with the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior. And we're still celebrating that. In fact, we could celebrate it all year, and some people say, but we're still celebrating it during this time. It's knowing that our Lord and our God came for us to have peace and joy and love. And not only that, to have hope. Hope that all these things will be with us, not just now, but forevermore. It's easy to say peace to everybody during this time of year. But where is that at in June? It's easy to say that I have joy because I'm enjoying this celebration of the birth of Christ. But where is that in August? And it's easy to say I have love for one another right now, but we live in a world that those things, that peace and that joy and that love, can be hard to find. And it is our hope that we have these things, that we will always have these things. And Paul talks about these things in a certain way, and he says some of those things that you get through humility and through kindness and through gentleness and through love. And then he tells us to put on that perfect bond of peace, which is love. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae, was written around 62 A.D. It is one of the few churches that Paul actually did not found, but he had a very big hand in it, sending representatives from himself to help find the church. And he writes this letter to this church, this endearing letter to them, to let them know that he cares about them and he loves them, and he just wants to instruct them on some of the ways in which they should live. Many of the things they were already doing, they were being reported back to him, and he was very glad for them. But it's strange to understand how he could have such words of hope and of joy for people who were struggling with things, because they were struggling. Not only were they struggling, he was struggling because he was in a cell, in a prison cell. He himself was in prison in Rome. And so we have this letter from from Paul to this church, just trying to help them to understand just what it was that he's trying to get to them. He begins the letter with a very nice opening. If you were to read Colossians 1, 3 through 8, he says, "We give thanks to God the Father and to our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of his saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which is previously heard for the word of truth, the gospel." He's literally saying these saints, these people who have heard the word and now receive the word, he is hopeful for them, and he's given them words of hope. And I want you to understand, this word saints is not just a word that we just use and throw around. I mentioned earlier this morning that, you know, I was at a church one service, and the preacher got up and he said, "Hello, saints," and everybody, "Hello, hello, hello, hello." Then he said, "Hello, sinners." Yeah, it was very quiet after that. as a saint, someone who's a saint is somebody who's heard of the gospel and now believes. Not only that, those are the people who are willing to do those things that are saintly. They're the people who are willing to be kind and gentle and loving and patient and forgiving. All those things that we're required to do. Because Christ came for one reason, to redeem the unredeemable. His birth that we celebrate is a celebration of our Savior and of our salvation, because that's what he came for, to be that perfect lamb of spotless lamb. And as he came to be that spotless lamb, he came to ensure that we had a right to salvation, something that we did not have before him. And so as he comes and we call our other saints, we are the saints of today. Each and every one of us who sits here together, we are the saints. We are the ones who have heard of his word and believe in his word and act upon his holy word to love one another as he has loved us, to love one another as we love ourselves. To walk into this world that doesn't have a whole lot of peace, into this world that doesn't seem to have a whole lot of joy, into a world that doesn't seem to light a hope in it, to let them know that God does love. God loves all of us, regardless of who we are or where our backgrounds come from or where we may live or where we were born or where we go, anything that we've done. God loves us. And that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of this celebration of Christ, that our God loved us so much that he would give his very best for us, that we might have life and life eternal. That is the message of the gospel. So be patient with one another. Be gentle with one another. Be kind to one another. Love one another. And it's easy to love the person sitting next to you. It's easy to love the members of your family that you had all this great dinner with. It's easy to love them most of the time. Some of y'all probably had those situations where y'all were sending somebody to bed early. It's easy to love those persons that you see every day. But how easy is it to live and to be kind and to be gentle to those persons that you don't ever hardly see? Who don't look like you or don't dress like you or don't act like you or don't speak the same language as you do. Those are the persons we're still required to love. Love knows no bounds. It has no limits on it. God's love knew and does not know any bounds and has no limits on it. Why are we the ones who are limiting these things? And when we do that, we forfeit our peace. We forfeit our joy. And we don't show the love of Christ in our hearts. And for those in this world where there almost is no hope or there's hopelessness. And if you've ever seen somebody who is hopeless, you understand what I'm saying. For those persons, they're looking for us. They're looking for us to be those people of God that we say we are. Not just in word, but in deed also. Paul says, in everything that we do, in thought or word or deed, do to the name of Jesus Christ. That's who we came. Christ came to unite us with God the Father. He came to give us peace, a lasting peace, not just eternal peace, but a lasting peace even here, a peace that comes when we understand who we are and whose we are. That is his purpose, and it continues even now through us. His mission was to come and take a broken and fractured world and to heal that broken and fractured world, to give it hope. But guess what? We are his instruments. We are his body. And each part of the body needs each part of the body. Nobody can do this alone, and nobody can do this separate. It takes all of us to love all of God's children. We were redeemed by his blood, given peace by his blood. So who are we to hold back what God has given to us? Paul writes, as I said, he says, "So those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion." Put on a heart of kindness and humility and of gentleness and of patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Christ came to unite us with God the Father. His love came to do just that. To grant us this moment of peace that we may get, so that we might be united with God the Father. That is why he came. We live in a world that's tumultuous and filled with violence and filled with so many different things. And sometimes peace can be very difficult. Sometimes we have a hard time finding peace even within ourselves. Donna showed me a cartoon. It was about a woman who was having sleeplessness, apparently. And in the cartoon it says, "Does tossing and turning count for exercise?" And if those of you who believe it does, put on your Fitbit and find out what you did. Sometimes peace can be very difficult for us to find or to hold on to. But when we find ourselves walking as Christ has walked, walking with gentleness and with compassion and unified with one another, bonded to one another, bonded to his word to love one another, then we find that we have more peace than we thought we did. In a world that's full of war and rumors of war, we still know that we have a peace because we know that no matter what happens on this earth, our God and our Savior will grant us what we need. That no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter how much we've been tossed and turned and flipped over and so many things happening, we still have a God who loves us enough to grant us peace if we seek him. If we put on a heart of Christ. If we put on a heart of love and of humility and of kindness and of gentleness and of peace. Those are the things that we're asked to do. They're there for us. But we oftentimes forfeit those things because we want to control what we can't control. I'm a former military man, a senior enlisted man. I have control over everything, and yet I have control over nothing. And when we surrender to God's will, when we let his will be done, we find that peace that's there for us, that he has stored up for us, those treasures that he has stored up for us, they're there for each and every one of us. His love and his peace is there. We just have to reach out. So those of us who have been chosen by God, who are holy and beloved, do just that. Be compassionate and be kind and humble and gentle and patient. And patience is sometimes hard for us to get because this world does not teach us patience. But I promise you this, for those of us who will find patience in those things that I've talked, we find that we find more peace within ourselves. And in that peace, we find that we are able to bond with one another and unite with one another and to be kind to one another, to help one another, and to always lift one another up. For we are one body in Christ. Paul writes in the letter to Romans 14, 1-7 says, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Those things hold us together in peace. And then he lets us know there is only one body. That is all of us. One Spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is in all and over all and through all. That's who we are. A united people, not just United Methodist people, but a united people who believe in our risen Savior who has granted us peace. And in that peace, we can find joy. This joy that comes from deep within. Peace and joy are synonymous in some ways. You can't find joy if you don't have any peace. If you're always bound up, you don't have much joy. You don't have much to smile about. But when we find peace, we find that joy that comes from knowing that we have a Savior who has called him to himself and that will give us hope and peace and that love. Joy is about having the right relationship with God, the right relationship. It's about being able to speak to our God about whatever's going on in our lives and knowing that whatever it is that we can give it over to our God and he will help us through this. No, God is not the genie in a bottle who's not going to come down and make every circumstance just like that, like a 30-minute sitcom. No. But even through our hardest days, even through the trials that we go through, the trials and testimonies that we will have, make us stronger so that our joy is made complete. So that when we understand where our joy comes from, it doesn't come from these outward things. And I mentioned earlier that one of the greatest things we have, those of us who are parents, is the joy of our firstborn child or our children. And the rest, well, we're not going to say anybody has favorites. But the joy of our children. When they're first born, they're full of joy and we smile and we rejoice. And it's like, oh, they're here. And by the time they're 12, 13, 14 years old, they're like, oh, they're here. Or the joy that we get when we purchase something that we've been wanting or desiring. Those are those joys of the world. But the joy I'm talking about is that unspeakable joy that comes from within, that comes from our God and our Lord. That joy that we have that warms us up on the inside no matter what's happening in our world. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on, no matter how somebody treats you or mistreats you or whatever it is that's going on in our lives, we have this joy about us. And we can always find a way to smile about things. And it's not a superficial smile. I mentioned earlier that, you know, sometimes we take photos and say, smile. But a true smile within ourselves, in our eyes and in our spirit. And it comes in our actions. Because when we have joy in our life, it's easy to be humble. It's easy to be kind and patient with one another and to love one another and to forgive one another. While joy is very difficult to really obtain, it's not that difficult to obtain. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but all it takes is a right relationship with God. And that's what joy is about having that right relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In those times when we have our free times, when we take the time to strengthen our bond with our God, to unite with our God in prayer and in fasting and in all those things that we do to try to understand what God wants from us and what he wants through us and how he wants to use us and to surrender to his will, then we find joy. And so that love and that joy and that peace that we're talking about and that hope of having those things are there for us if we seek them. That's why Christ came, to bond us, to unify us, to make us that perfect bond, to give us joy and to let us know that we can have a lasting joy through God the Father. Those are the things that we look for. I read something and I wrote this down. It says, the word joy appears 88 times in the Old Testament and 57 times in the New Testament. Very few words are used that often. They express a way of feeling that comes from within, each and every one of them. They don't speak of the selfish ambitions that we have and our selfish emotions that we tend to have. And we all get there. We all get there because everybody's selfish about one thing. I don't care if you say you're not selfish about anything. Everybody's selfish about this one thing, time. We all have some selfishness within us, but when that selfishness takes over and it allows us to be who we're not, then we forfeit our joy. And then we look for the world to give it to us, and the world cannot. For the world did not give us joy, nor can the world take it. God has given us that joy through our risen Savior. We live in a world that's intolerant sometimes, but it's up to us to be tolerant, to live peacefully and joyfully. It's up to us to understand that the world does not always look just like me, but that does not mean I cannot love the world, the people of God. Joy can only come when we're willing to empty ourselves of those desires, those selfish ambitions, and allow God's will to be our will. And in this world, it's hard because our ideologies, they dictate our agendas. We have a social agenda, and we have religious agendas, and we have political agendas, all these things that try to rob us of our joy. But when we understand what Christ came for, why he came and what he's coming to give to us again, then we have joy. When we understand that he came so that we might be redeemed, and not only that, so that God might demonstrate his love through him for us, we have joy. And in that joy, we find love and hope. So those who have been chosen of God and holy and beloved by heart, put on compassion and kindness and humility and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also forgive them. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The perfect bond of unity is love. Let love be at the forefront of everything that we do. We here at Fayetteville First have one of our goals is to be for Fayetteville and for Fayette County. We cannot do that if we don't let love be at the front of everything that we do. We cannot love one another if we just do it in word only, but we have to do it in action as well. Love is that perfect bond of unity. It's why Christ came. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's what love has done for us. It has given us hope of peace and of joy. And to understand that no matter what we deal with in this world and in this life, our God loves us just that much that he's willing to unite himself with us through his son, through that perfect sacrifice. That perfect lamb without spot or blemish that he gave to us just so that we might have a right to the heir of salvation and the right to the tree of life. That's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate during this time and during this year. We celebrate his coming so that we might find joy and peace and love and that we might unite with one another, not just in word, but in deed as well. For Paul tells him, he says that do everything and whatever you do in word and deeds, do all in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him through God the Father. That's why our God came. That's why he came to be our Prince of Peace. That's why he came to be the everlasting joy. That's why God loved us so much that he would give him to us so that we might hope and that our hope might be fulfilled. We are people of faith, and in our faith, it is our hope that all that we read and all that we read in God's holy word and all that we study and do, it is our hope that one day we might be pleasing to our God, pleasing enough that when we leave this earth, we know that we have a home. That is our hope. In Christ Jesus, his birth, he fulfills that hope. In his birth, he shows God's love towards us. In his birth, we're granted joy. And in his birth, we're granted his peace. Let us pray. Our Holy Father, we give you thanks for your joy, your love, your peace. Those things that you gave to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go through our days and nights, that we will remember you in all things and all ways. That we will love your people as you have loved us and as we love ourselves. That we will do the things that you've called us to do with integrity and with honesty. And that all that we do, O Holy Father, we do in your name, so that you might be glorified in everything, and that we might know you in the power of your resurrection. We give you thanks. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you continue to strengthen us. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.